Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this third day of April 2019. And I'm thrilled to have two guests on today to discuss an important subject. They're actually going to be discussing two different aspects of one important subject. The one important subject is the fact that this year, the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dort. And we have a first-time guest for the first hour to discuss the doctrine of the covenant in the canons of Dort. That will be Douglas Kuiper. The second hour, we have a returning guest, one of my favorite guests to interview, David J. Engelsma, and he is going to be addressing the Great War, what led to the Synod of Dort. But first of all, we have, as I said, Douglas Kuiper for the first hour. He is professor of church history and New Testament in the Protestant Reformed Theological Seminary, and he's discussing the doctrine of the covenant and the canons of Dort, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Professor Douglas Kuiper.
Thank you, Chris. It's a privilege to be here, too.
Well, I want to immediately give our listeners our email address if you'd like to join us on the air. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor or your own denomination on something that we're talking about and you don't want to identify yourself. I could understand that. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, first of all, Professor Kuiper, if you could tell us something about, before we go into your personal salvation testimony, because you are a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and that is our tradition, tell us something, first of all, about the Protestant Reformed Theological Seminary.
Protestant Reformed Theological Seminary is located in Grandville, Michigan. Ever since the PRC, we're a denomination dating back to 1925. We've thought it important to train our own men for the ministry of the gospel rather than letting them use an independent seminary or the seminary of another denomination. And so our seminary trains men in the Reformed faith and to preach the Reformed faith from the viewpoint of the scriptures. And not only the Reformed faith generally, but the Reformed faith as the PRC understands it. So the distinctive doctrines of the PRC opposing common grace, emphasizing sovereign particular grace, and the distinctive of the PRC opposing a conditional covenant and emphasizing an unconditional covenant, these would be at least points that would be emphasized in the instruction here. But the general purpose isn't, I don't want to leave the impression that we have a class devoted just to those topics. The general purpose is to give the students the ability to work with and understand the Greek, the Hebrew, the original languages, to open up the scriptures and understand them, and then to proclaim them. That in brief.
Well, praise God. Well, now let's hear something about this conference, Dort 400, and might I just quickly read some of the speakers. In fact, I'll read all of the speakers. Professor Ronald Kamenga, I think that is the correct way to pronounce it. I remember him rebuking me lovingly the last time he was on my program. Ronald Kamenga, who has been a guest on this show. Professor Barrett Gritters. Reverend Brian Heisinger. Today's guest, Professor Doug Kuiper. And Reverend Bill Langerak, and I may have mispronounced that, and Reverend Mark Shand, and Reverend Angus Stewart, who actually is going to be our guest Friday on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the 2 hours. And tell us more about this conference that's coming up just in a few weeks, on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of April. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 25th, 26th, 27th of April. Tell us about this conference.
Good. First of all, the seminary tries every other year at least to have a conference on some topic. And because it is the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dort, that was a timely topic. Many other churches or seminaries have had a conference on that, but we also. So the conference will begin Thursday evening. It'll be held, by the way, in Hudsonville, Michigan, at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church. We'll begin Thursday evening with one speech, Reverend Angus Stewart's speech. And then Friday morning, there will be two speeches. Friday afternoon, there will be two speeches. Friday evening, one speech. Saturday morning, there will be the final speech, and then a question and answer panel session. And then I should add that in addition to those seven main speeches, we're going to have seven mini speeches, all given by Professor Russell Dykstra, focusing on a little historical tidbit relating to the Synod of Dort. So that's in Hudsonville, Michigan, on April, as you say, I don't have a calendar in front of me, 25, 26, and 27, I believe.
And, yes, that's right.
All are welcome to come. I'm not able to assure the audience that it will be live streamed, but it's my understanding that it will, and that would be through the Trinity PRC's sermon audio page, I would presume. We'll go to the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church's website, and you could find access to the live stream video, assuming it is live streamed.
Well, if you live near Michigan, especially Hudsonville, Michigan, that's the correct city, am I right?
That is true. It's a suburb of Grand Rapids.
Yeah, so if you live near there, especially, I would strongly recommend that you attend, because there is nothing like being at a conference as opposed to seeing something live-streamed. There's just something radically different, in my opinion, about being there when the Word of God is proclaimed. I don't think, for instance, that listening to sermons on the radio and watching them preached on the television, as wonderful as that may be, will ever be a substitute for gathering with the saints on Sunday for worship service. And like manner, if you're able to attend the conference physically and be there, I would strongly recommend that you do that. And for more details, we'll be announcing this later. But the website for more details on this conference is dort400.org, dort400.org. And please tell the folks running the conference, if you register for it, that you heard about it from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, as I hinted at before, Professor Kuiper, here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have a tradition that we try to uphold as often as possible. When we have a first-time guest, we like to hear from that guest a summary of their salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances did our sovereign Lord rise up or raise up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you?
Good. Before I answer that, just two things about what you said previously regarding the DORT400.org. Just to emphasize that we're spelling DORT, D-O-R-D-T.
Yes.
So are spelling it without the second D, and probably on a Google search it would come up easily enough. But just so to help anyone find the website, DORDT400.org, with 400 being 400, not spelled out.
Right, and in fact, I made that clarification every day that I've been announcing this, and today was the first time I forgot to do that.
Very good, very good. Secondly, registration is free. There is a click and register button, but this is not a conference that one needs to pay for.
That's a big bonus.
Your question. I was born and raised to believing parents and members of the Protestant Reformed churches, and baptized as an infant, and the result is I can't point to a time, a date, a place at which I remember a conversion. I was born and raised in God's covenant and instructed in the truths of the covenant, and as a child would have sung Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want, certainly not fully understanding the truths of those songs and of Psalm 23, but never questioning it and growing in my development of it. So it's sort of a bland story. If you want an exciting story, I don't have one. But that's how the Lord works often, especially in the case of believing parents and the children of believing parents, which parents are faithful to their calling to raise their children in the fear of God's name. At age, I don't remember, I was just out of high school when I made confession of faith in my local congregation, which would have been a concrete demonstration that I believe the Reformed faith and resolved to live a godly life, but I had been believing and living such a life already. So you may ask a follow-up if you'd like. Please do if you'd like, but I don't have more details to add that would make the story more interesting.
Can't you make something up? No, I'm only kidding. I have often told folks that there is nothing, obviously, to be embarrassed or ashamed of having been raised in the faith since infancy and not being able to recall years of rebellion and so on, because I think that that is a remarkable and amazing story in and of itself, especially in the 21st century. When I hear about brothers and sisters in Christ who, as long as they can remember back through the years past, they cannot recall a time they didn't believe in Jesus. I find that amazing. So I don't think there's anything uninteresting about hearing that story as often as I hear it, because it's something certainly to rejoice over and to praise God over.
Absolutely.
And so we are going to be addressing today, of course not in its entirety. We don't want to steal your thunder from when you are going to be preaching at the conference April 25th through 27th. But to start off with, if you could define, especially keeping in mind that we have many listeners, I think the majority would be believers and the majority would be Reformed from all different stripes of Reformed theology. I happen to be a Reformed Baptist, a confessionally Reformed Baptist, holding to the 1689 London Baptist Confession, which has much in common with the three forms of unity in the Westminster Confession. But tell us, first of all, about, in an abbreviated fashion, the Synod of Dort. We're going to hear from David Engelsma in the second hour on what led to the Synod of Dort. So you don't have to go too deep into the reason for its existence, but just give us a summary about it and what makes the canons of Dort stand out from the other Reformed confessions. In fact, I just mentioned the Westminster. I just mentioned the 1689 London Baptist Confession. There's also the 39 Articles of the Anglican Church. There's the Savoy Declaration. And, of course, even you have two other forms of your three forms of unity, the Heidelberg Catechism and the Belgic Confession, in addition to the Canons of Dort. So what makes the Canons of Dort stand out?
Good. First of all, historically, but not to get into Prof. Engelsma's area, the Synod of Dort convened to deal with 5 points of doctrine, false doctrine, that the Arminians had been teaching for over a decade. And it's important to emphasize then that Dort didn't just meet to say, well, we need to do something more in Reformed theology. Dort met to oppose an error, the error of Arminianism, that was claiming to be Reformed and was claiming that it could coexist with Orthodox Reformed theology in the Reformed camp. And that already helps us see what made the Synod unique and the canons unique in distinction from other Reformed documents. The Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, the Westminster, and various revisions of it are all comprehensive statements of doctrine. They touch on many different doctrines, many different areas, so that you have in them a brief summary of what the Christian should and must believe in order to show that he is a consistent Christian with the Scriptures. The Canons of Dort do not do that. The Canons of Dort address 5 points of doctrine and 5 only. So they are not a broad confession as far as their scope, but they dig deeply into these 5 points and set forth in careful detail what a Reformed believer ought to understand regarding God's election from eternity, regarding Christ's death, and for whom he died, that he died for the elect only, regarding the total depravity of man, that man was and is by nature dead in trespasses and sins before being regenerated by the Spirit, regarding, fourthly, the irresistible character of the grace of God, so that when God works his grace in a man, no human can resist it or say, no, I don't want it. In other words, God will certainly bring to faith and to obedience everyone for whom Christ died and whom he chose, and then finally the preservation of the saints. That number one. Number two, I think the format of the canons makes them unique. In each of their heads or chapters, there is first of all a positive setting forth of doctrine, what we do teach, and then the second half is a rejection of errors, and this makes very clear not only what the Reformed teach, but what the Reformed do not teach. So occasion, style, format, content, this distinguishes them. They're a more focused repudiation of the errors of the Arminians. If I may add one point,
sure,
that doesn't touch exactly on your question. At the Dort400.org website is a blog that I am not writing all of the blog, but I'm writing some of the blog. And on that blog, I'm summarizing week by week what the Synod of Dort did in its various sessions. It did more than just formulate the canons of Dort. There were a number of other topics it touched on, and that will come out at the conference, as well as in a May 1 issue of the Standard Bearer magazine. But somebody who wants to read the history of what the Synod did could go to Dort400.org and read it on the blog there.
And some may be surprised to know that the 5 points did not originate with John Calvin. In fact, listing 5 points of doctrine didn't even begin with Calvinists. It began with the Arminians, who first came up with their 5 points, and there was a protest to their protest. There was a protest to their teachings that had gone astray from not only from, most importantly, the scriptures, but from historic Reformed teaching. Am I correct there?
That is correct. In 1610, well, let's back up a moment. Arminius had died in 1609. In 1610, his followers drew up a document called the 5 points of the Remonstrance. And a remonstrance was a protest or a statement of a grievance that they had. And in their 5 points of the Remonstrance, they, 1610, they set forth their understanding on these five doctrines in the form of, or for the purpose of trying to show the Reformed churches that those who opposed their view, those who differed from their view, were not being faithful to the scriptures. That would have been the Arminians' contention. 1611, a document is written by the Contra Remonstrants, the Orthodox Reformed, those who are against the Remonstrants, and they rebutted those 5 points of the Arminians. But even though we have those documents, the history went on. There was back and forth, and finally the Synod of Dort does respond, as you say, to two documents. It responds to the 1610 Articles of the Remonstrants, but the Synod of Dort also responded to a document that President Bogerman had drawn up, in which he summarized and took excerpts of the teachings of the Arminians on the 5 points. So those two documents the Synod was responding to in formulating the canons.
Now, if you could define another important word in our subject today, covenant, especially how it relates to Christian theology.
Good. God's covenant, and by the way, the term is biblical. I think most Christians are familiar with its use in the scripture, made with Abraham, with David, and with others. God's covenant is his bond of friendship that he establishes with his people in Jesus Christ. And not all will agree that friendship is its essential component, but that is a Protestant Reformed understanding, and one that I'm going to proceed with that understanding as well. God's covenant is a bond of friendship, a relationship of friendship that he establishes with us in Christ. That as far as what it is. I think this is also answering your question. How does this idea of a covenant become so prominent in Reformed theology? And I don't have time to get into the history of that, though the history of the rise of the doctrine is, I think, very interesting. But the theological explanation would be that really, all of Scripture is about the record of God establishing, maintaining this covenant, bringing it to its highest fulfillment, which he'll finally do when Christ comes again and brings us to heaven. So what's the purpose of God revealing himself to us? It's so that we understand our friend, God, and know how to live as his friend. And so briefly with that, I tried to explain why theologically the concept of covenant and covenant as a bond of friendship would be important.
Now, there are differences between even Reformed Christians on the nature and extent of the covenant. You were mentioning something earlier in the very outset of the program about the difference between a conditional and unconditional covenant. If you could be a little bit more specific about the differences between those two.
I can. You're fading out. Can you hear me well enough?
I hear you perfectly. I'm sorry. I probably moved my head away from the microphone, and I apologize.
Very good. So the difference between a conditional and unconditional covenant was your question.
Yes.
Right. Let me introduce that by saying, let me start this way. The idea of a conditional covenant, and this was the Arminian's idea of the covenant, the idea of a conditional covenant is that God sets forth for man what God is willing to do for man, and then requires man to believe and obey in order that God might do what he promises to do. So the idea of condition, which I'm referring to now, the sense in which I'm using it, is that God's covenant really doesn't become a reality with somebody until the human believes, obeys, and does what God requires of him. Unconditional view of God's covenant would be that God brings us into friendship with himself. He does it apart from our consent, apart from any activity that we must first do. But then he teaches us how to live as his friend. So certainly those who teach an unconditional covenant are not minimizing the necessity of obedience, of the expression of faith, but they're saying these aren't reasons why the covenant is established with us or why we experience God's friendship. They are rather the result. Now, that being the basic distinction between conditional and unconditional, it is worthy of note that Orthodox Reformed theologians have used the word conditions regarding the covenant in a different sense, to refer to faith and obedience, not as something man must do before he can be in covenant with God, but to emphasize that faith and obedience then aren't, shall I say, optional. They are the necessary way by which we express thanks and gratitude to God and show that we're in the covenant. So we're putting that use of conditions aside for the moment, and some might, if anyone has read widely in some of the fathers of the 16 and 1700s, they would come across that language. I'm not touching on that at the moment. Rather, it's the Arminian idea that God wants to bring me into covenant and friendship with him, and he will only after I believe and obey.
So it seems that it's very reflective of what Reformed Christians and actually, I believe, what all authentic Christians believe about justification. We believe that a man's good deeds and his obedience are absolutely absent from the reason God justifies sinners. But at the same time, those whom he justifies will certainly bear fruit, namely in the actions of obedience and following Christ and repenting of sin and so on.
Right. Yep, that connection can be drawn. And I'm running ahead of myself, so I'll just state it for the moment and not develop it. It also bears and relates to election. Is election conditional? Does God choose based on whom he sees will believe and obey? or does God choose apart from that?
Amen. And one of the things that differentiates or separates some, not all, but some Paedo-Baptist Reformed Christians from Reformed Baptists is that we who are Reformed Baptists believe that only God's elect are truly in the covenant. Many of my Paedo-Baptist friends do not believe that. They believe that if you are baptized as a child or even as an adult, you are automatically in the covenant and truly in the covenant, but you can fall away. In fact, you will in some fashion if you are not of the elect. So they believe that non-elect people, they believe reprobates are a part of Christ's covenant. Now, as I said, not all Paedo-Baptists agree. Where would the Protestant Reformed Church be on that issue? And where do you think the Synod of Dort lies on that issue?
Very good. As regards the Synod of Dort, it's easy for me to say that I think it took the alternative view. That is, it took the view that, no, the reprobate aren't in the covenant at all. But quite frankly, the Synod of Dort said little about the covenant. My speech is not about a word that's used often. And what I want to be careful not to do right now is read too much back into the Synod based on what we would say today. So the second part of your question, I'm going to punt with a bit. But to the first part of your question, where do the PRC stand? The PRC believe God makes his covenant with the elect only, so that not every baptized child is in covenant with God. Only the elect are. And then only the elect are at the moment, not of their baptism per se, but of their regeneration. However, the PRC also historically speak of a sphere of the covenant. You have the covenant, then you have a broader group of people who are not in the covenant, but in the sphere of or connected to the covenant in some way. And in that category we put any who have been baptized as children of believing parents, or maybe even baptized later in life, but who in fact are not the elect. So elect only in the covenant. And it has to be if God's covenant is one of friendship. God is not friends with the reprobate.
And of course, I've always found it difficult to understand the explanation of my Paedo-Baptist friends who would disagree with you, who believe that anyone baptized in the name of the Trinity is in the covenant, especially if they have Christian parents. But how they explain how Christ mediates for those in the covenant who are reprobate, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. And I've heard that Christ mediates wrath, but that doesn't seem to be a very comforting notion connected to a covenant.
I would agree completely. If he mediates wrath, then can I find in his death the satisfaction for my sin and have the comfort that I'm going to heaven?
Amen. Well, we are going to our first break right now, and please, if you have a question for our guest, send it now to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Professor Douglas Kuiper and more on the covenant in the Canons of Dort.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. the Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the first hour, with just about 15 minutes to go, is Douglas Kuiper, professor of church history and New Testament in the Protestant Reformed Theological Seminary. And he has been and will continue to address the doctrine of the covenant and the canons of Dort. If you'd like to join us on the air, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Before we take any of our listener questions, Professor Kuiper, if you could explain the task ahead of you to speak on the doctrine of the covenant in the canons of Dort, when, as you admitted earlier, the covenant is rarely mentioned in the canons of Dort.
Good. A good question. The word is used actually 8 times in 6 articles. And what I'm going to do is bring out four doctrines on which the covenant relates in the canons. For instance, the use of the covenant in the canons underscores an unconditional election. And it does that because the canons sets forth, though it doesn't develop, it implicitly sets forth an unconditional covenant. Another aspect of its use will be to focus on Christ as the mediator of the covenant, and therefore what he did on the cross as the mediator of the covenant. The canon says he confirmed the new covenant. And it, just with that little phrase, those couple of words, the idea of the Arminians that Christ's death on the cross was the work of giving the Father the right to make a different covenant of a different sort is overthrown. So, although only eight uses of the term in six articles, they are significant because underlying the Arminian view of the Arminian doctrines that they were expressing is a wrong covenant view. Now, that's one point that I want to bring out. I want to bring out how the canons use the word and how that relates to the Reformed doctrine, but I also want to bring out that underlying the canons and the response to the canons is a wrong view of covenant on the part of the Arminians. So it's a little bigger than you think if you know what's sitting underneath.
We do have a listener. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. And Bobby says that, would you say that the main problem with Arminianism is that it robs God of his glory to be 100% worthy of the praise, honor, and glory of our salvation? And no matter how much they may protest and say that they give God all the glory for it, they are really taking credit in part for it, regardless of what they may say, if they really believe that God is not the author and finisher of our faith, if our salvation does not begin and end with him and is not maintained by him and preserved by him, they are in some way taking credit for themselves.
I would completely agree with that, and would also point out in that connection that the canons views it that way. The end of the first head, the positive part of the first head, is a quotation from Romans 11, verses 33 to 36, in which the glory of God is set forth, the glory of God in unconditional election. The second head, the positive part, does not end with a quote from Scripture, but still makes the same point that because Christ laid down his life for us on the cross, we may celebrate his praises here and through all eternity. And again, the third and fourth heads end by saying, to whom alone all the glory, both of means and of their saving fruit and efficacy, is forever due. Amen. The fifth head and the conclusion all end on that point. So I think that's a very much to the point, and it was the view of the Reformed Fathers at Dort too. At bottom, is God to be glorified, or is man? And even if, as some Arminians would say, well, man doesn't get all of it, the question is, if man gets any of it, then hasn't God been robbed of all of it? I think the answer is yes.
We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, what I can't understand is how denominations can all agree upon the three forms of unity as their standard of faith and yet radically disagree on issues as important as presumptive regeneration. I am gathering from what your guest said that he does not believe in presumptive regeneration.
That would be true. I do not believe in presumptive regeneration. And
that is to presume that a child is with certainty regenerate after it's been baptized.
That's right. Not every baptized child is necessarily regenerated. But baptism is a picture of the work of God regenerating. So baptism isn't an assurance that one who is baptized is regenerated. If it were that, there would be, well, all you had to do is be baptized and then you're regenerated. That might be pushing the presumptive regeneration argument a little far. At least they might not phrase it that way, but it opens them up to that view. But baptism is not a promise of God that every baptized person is saved. Rather, baptism is a picture, a sign, and of God's regenerating work, and it's a seal to the believer, to the child of God, that God has regenerated him. Now, we don't have time for it, perhaps, but what I don't understand from the question that the listener asked is in what way it appears that the three forms of unity would teach presumptive regeneration, or maybe I'm reading more into that question.
Well, I think it's because of the fact that, I don't think that she was saying that, but okay. There are people who have the three forms of unity as their standard. Like, for instance, there are those in the Christian Reformed Church who, in fact, used to be a lot more solid than it is today because they've gotten liberal and so on, although there are a few conservative holdouts in that denomination. But there are, I have met Christians who would say, I hold to the three forms of unity, and yet they do also believe in presumptive regeneration.
If that was her point, I agree with it completely. The three forms of unity give no room for one to come away saying that's what Reformed theology teaches.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today. And I think that you already know that next time I invite you back on the show that you should be on for 2 hours.
Yep, we'll plan on that.
But if you could give us a summary of the most important things you want to leave our audience with today.
In Reformed circles generally and largely, the Synod of Dort is being commemorated as a historic event, part of our historical heritage, but either the doctrines are really passed over or they're explained sort of sometimes a little bit sheepishly as if, the men at Dort didn't really quite understand it the way we do now. They maybe tended to overreact. Now, I'm not hearing people say it in so many words. You understand that. But I think that there is something of that, and it would make sense today in Reformed churches that are leaving. They might hold to their three forms of unity confessionally, but they're leaving the teachings of the three forms. And they're maybe a little embarrassed about the canons of Dort. So what I'm going to leave with the listeners today is there is absolutely no need to be embarrassed about the doctrines set forth in the canons of Dort. Not only is there no need to be embarrassed, but one who is embarrassed has to ask whether he or she either understands the doctrines, maybe the embarrassment is a result of not clearly understanding them, and then the answer is to keep studying, see that they're scriptural, or an alternative would be whether he or she does not really love the heart of the Reformed faith. And if that's the case, I would plead with such a one, again, to see that it's scriptural, and that becomes the reason to love it. And it, as an earlier listener pointed out, it tends to the glory of God. It exalts him, and that's a reason to love it. So no need to be embarrassed. In fact, we may not be embarrassed. We must love this doctrine and promote and teach it. And more, that might put us out of favor with some, but that's not the question. The question ultimately isn't who appreciates us or who doesn't. The question is, can we now stand before God and say with a clear conscience that we have received his revelation about himself, understood it, and confessed it as he revealed himself? Or are we going to tell him that what he revealed about himself wasn't quite good enough for us? It didn't suit our fancy, and so we saw fit to revise it. That's the question. Do we agree, do we believe what God made known in the Scriptures about all grace being his and all glory being his?
Amen. Well, don't forget, folks, the DORT 400 conference is being held Thursday through Saturday, April 25th, 26th, and 27th at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. And if you want more details, go to dort400.org, and that's spelled D as in David, O-R, D as in David, T as in Thomas, 400.org, and that's with numbers 400, 400. That's dort400.org. Thank you so much, Professor Kuiper. I look forward to having you back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the future.
Thank you, Chris. Have a good day.
You too. And don't go away, folks, because Professor David Engelsma is our second guest, and he's going to be continuing our discussion on the Synod of Dort and the Canons of Dort, but from a different angle. He's going to be discussing the Great War, what led to the Synod of Dort. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. This is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, a 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, airs their own public service announcements and commercials during this break to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient. Use this time to write down information provided by our advertisers so that you could successfully and more frequently patronize them, because we need their advertising dollars to exist, and the more you patronize them, the more likely they are going to remain our advertisers and keep us on the air. But also write down questions for Professor Engelsma regarding the Synod of Dort and why, what circumstances led to the forming of the Synod of Dort. If you could, please email us at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group. .org/podcast. Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently, his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3444. 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I urge everybody listening to help Solid Ground Christian Books dig their way out of a financial rut that they have once again found themselves in. Please, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, support our advertisers, and one of those advertisers is Solid Ground Christian Books, who have been very faithful in supporting this program financially. And the only way they will be able to remain an advertiser is if you keep purchasing books from them. They have the finest in Reformed literature, both from the past and the present. They have things that they have brought back into print that are centuries old, and they also have books by the best of our modern day Reformed writers. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and order as many books as you can, especially when you think of the holidays coming up and wedding anniversaries and birthdays and all kinds of special events that you would during which you would purchase gifts for loved ones. And also stock up your library with the best of Reformed literature. Go to solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com. And please tell Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, that you heard about that ministry from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, before we go to our second guest of the day, one of my favorite guests, David J. Engelsma, who's going to be speaking on the Great War, what led to the Synod of Dort. He's also going to be speaking about a conference coming up in Northern Ireland where he is going to be preaching. But I want to give you some of the events that we hope that you attend coming up very shortly, and one of them is that conference I just mentioned. First of all, the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church of Ballymena, Northern Ireland, is going to be having an event in commemoration of the 400th anniversary of the Canons of Dort, the original Five Points of Calvinism, featuring our guest during the second hour today, David Engelsma. This is going to take place on Saturday, April 13th, Wednesday, April 17th, and Wednesday, May 1st. So it's coming up this Saturday. It's very quickly coming up. If you live in the United Kingdom, or more specifically Northern Ireland, or you have the means to travel there, I strongly urge you to do so. I know that we have listeners both in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, so that I hope that you do go to the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church for this event, or it's really these events that will feature our guest today, David Engelsma. For more information, go to CPRF, that's Covenant Protestant Reformed, and I'm not sure what the F stands for, that's F as in Frank, .co.uk, CPRF.co.uk is the website of the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church of Ballymena, Northern Ireland. And then, coming up after that, is the other event that we have been discussing during the first hour, Dort 400. That's going to take place April 25th, 26th, and 27th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this month. And that's going to be held at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. And the speakers are Professor Ronald Kamenga, Professor Barrett Gritters, Reverend Brian Heisinger, Professor Doug Kuiper, who was our first guest today, Reverend Bill Langerak, Reverend Mark Shand, and Reverend Angus Stewart, who is our guest on Friday, right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want more information about the Dort 400 conference, go to dort400.org, and Dort is spelled D as in David, O-R, D as in David, T as in Thomas, 400, and that's the numbers 400.org, dort400.org. And don't forget the second D, that's D-O-R-D-T, 400.org. Then coming up after that, the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth is going to be held. That's May 28th through the 30th. I intend to be there at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. The theme is I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And the speakers include Jeff Kingswood, who is going to be my guest on Tuesday, April 23rd. Terry Johnson is going to be speaking at this conference, and Terry Johnson is also going to be a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Monday, the 6th of May. David Vaughan, who is a Reformed Baptist missionary in France, Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, which was founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Michael Morales, and also Chad Vegas, who is going to be a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio coming up very shortly. In fact, that's going to be this coming Monday, the 8th of April. Chad Vegas will be on the program. If you want more details on the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, then scroll down to the East Coast Ministers Conference, May 28th through the 30th. There are other conferences in the United States and the United Kingdom that they run there at the Banner of Truth, so if you're closer to one of those, you can feel free to attend one of those instead, but I will be, God willing, at the May 28th through the 30th conference right here in Pennsylvania at Elizabethtown College. Banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. Then, also, another conference that I am really excited about that I have grown to love since I began attending there a number of years ago, and that is the Foundations Conference, which is a conference of sermon audio. the Foundations Conference, which will be held December 19th and 20th in Manhattan, New York City. Speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you just heard earlier advertising for the New Covenant Church NYC in Manhattan, which is a church that sponsors Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Paul Washer is one of the speakers on the roster. Reverend Jeff Thomas, who is an extraordinary preacher that I've heard a number of times. Reverend Armin Tomasian, another extraordinary man of God, who's just a young pastor but has gifts and wisdom far beyond his youth, and I think he's going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade. He is so powerful and gifted. Richard Caldwell Jr., I'm looking forward to hearing him preach for the first time, and Andrew Quigley as well. For more details on this conference, go to thefoundationconference.com, thefoundationconference.com, it's plural, thefoundationsconference.com. And if you want to register, I would do so quickly because they can only hold about 200 people for this venue in Manhattan. So register as quickly as you can, thefoundationsconference.com, and I'll see you there, God willing, December 19th and 20th. And now, please, I'd urge you, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to go away, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please donate as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way. You could send in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you're a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because those two things are commands of God, providing for church and home. Providing for my show is not a command of God, obviously, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me to advertise, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe. And I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of the advertising dollars. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line. And if you do not have a church home, a biblically faithful church home, and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. So please rectify that situation and send me an email that says, I need a church home or something similar, and I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I will help you find a church home. I have already helped quite a number of people find church homes near them all over the world, and even in places where they're going on vacation. So please send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and say, I need a church home. Also use that email address to send in a question to David Engelsma. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we are going to be discussing right now the Great War, what led to the Synod of Dort. David J. Engelsma is an author, professor of dogmatics and Old Testament studies for 20 years at Protestant Reformed Seminary in Granville, Michigan, and emeritus professor since the Synod of 2008, editor of the Standard Bearer magazine between 1988 and 2002, lecturer and preacher touring in North America and throughout the British Isles on behalf of the British Reformed Fellowship, which is devoted to spread and declare the Reformed faith in the United Kingdom. And as I said, we are addressing the Great War, what led to the Synod of Dort, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, David J. Engelsma.
It's good to be with you again, Chris, and especially because we'll discuss the Great Synod of Dort.
Great. Well,
that made such an impression on one of the delegates that ever after, as long as he lived, whenever the Synod of Dort was mentioned, he would doff his cap and say in Latin, because they were educated, the preachers in those days, O most holy and sacred synod. And that's what we'll be talking about at your request this afternoon. And it's confession, the canons of the Synod of Dort, which I regard as one of the most important creeds of the church in all of history. It ranks with Nicaea, Chalcedon, and the Athanasian creeds. There were many excellent qualities to the Senate in addition to being orthodox. It was a genuinely ecumenical assembly of the church, one of the few, in fact. There were delegates at the Synod of Dort from all over Great Britain and from many of the countries of Europe. But the special importance of the Synod of Dort was that it was the church's confession and defense of the gospel of salvation by grace and by grace alone.
Yes, and that would separate it from a modern understanding of ecumenical or ecumenism. I know that you and those who are in fellowship with you strongly oppose the modern ecumenical movement that has evangelical Protestants sharing worship services and declaring a spiritual and religious unity with the Church of Rome, and even sometimes not only rank liberal and apostate Protestants, but even those of other religions that don't even name Christ as their Savior. So this is a completely different kind of ecumenism.
Yes, it is. It was a synod and not merely a conference of prelates. And the difference is that the men at Dort were official representatives, authoritative representatives of Reformed churches all over Great Britain and all over Europe, so that when the synod decided, it was an official authoritative declaration of the church itself, and therefore distinguished from a mere conference at which men get together to talk about things and perhaps publish a paper, but it has no authority for the instituted church. What Dort decided, the canons of Dort, are the official confession of grace for all Reformed or Calvinistic churches worldwide, and their official confession down through the ages of history to the very end of time. And as you've pointed out already, the canons of Dort, this declaration, this official declaration of salvation by grace alone, is especially important in our time. Not only is our time a time of spurious ecumenicity, which takes place by means of abandonment of the truth of the Word of God, but also Reformed churches, nominally Reformed and Presbyterian churches today, are subtly and sometimes even openly denying or corrupting the gospel of grace while claiming still to be Reformed. Dort is the standard. Dort decides what is Reformed: double predestination, limited atonement, total depravity, salvation by particular sovereign grace, perseverance, and what's sometimes overlooked, justification by faith alone. That was also confessed by Dort and stands in need of calling attention to in our day.
Now, very briefly, if you could, tell us in summary form about the original 5 points of Calvinism, the 400th anniversary of the Canons of Dort mini-conference that where you will be preaching in Northern Ireland.
The Canons of Dort confess what are called today the 5 points of Calvinism. And the Synod of Dort of 1618 and 1619 adopted what are now called the 5 points of Calvinism, and what I prefer to refer to as the doctrines of grace, because in the Reformed churches of the Netherlands, sometime prior to the Synod of Dort, a very influential Reformed minister in probably the most prestigious pulpit in all of the Netherlands, Amsterdam, was influential to deceive a number of preachers and theologians into teaching five outstanding doctrines that deviated from Orthodox Christianity, and particularly as Orthodox Christianity is represented in the Reformed churches. At a meeting, these ministers, the followers of this influential Reformed minister named James Arminius, adopted a document in which they confessed that predestination is based on God's foreseeing the faith of individuals. Predestination, specifically now election, is based upon foreseen faith rather than being gracious. They also confess that Christ died for every human without exception. The atonement is universal, according to that document of the Arminians. And then they denied total depravity in the interests of their most strategic teaching, which is the free will of the sinner, upon which all of salvation, according to them, depends. And they also denied that grace is sovereign. In particular, God, according to that document, is gracious to all sinners without exception, but that grace is not effectual to accomplish the salvation of those to whom that grace is given. And finally, fifthly, this party of Arminians confess that one can have salvation begun in him by the Spirit of Christ without being assured that his salvation is perfected in eternal salvation in heaven. In other words, the fifth of their doctrines was a denial of the preservation of the saints. Those in whom God begins the work of salvation can nevertheless fall away because that aspect of their salvation also depends upon their own free will. Now, against those five doctrines of the Arminians, the Reformed Church at the Synod of Dort adopted what are now known as the 5 points of Calvinism. And because the Arminians had stated their teachings in 5 specific points, the Synod of Dort also established the truth in 5 specific points of doctrine. Unconditional predestination, limited or particular atonement, the total depravity of the sinner, particular sovereign grace, and the perseverance of the saints. Those are the contents of the canons of Dort, or the official declarations of the Synod of Dort in 1618 and 1619.
And you are going to be speaking, God willing, starting this Saturday, April 6th, and you are going to be... you're going to be speaking starting April 13th.
That's next week, Saturday.
Yes, and it's going to be at the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church of Ballymena in Northern Ireland. You're going to be speaking on the subject that we will continue addressing during the remainder of our interview today, during that first message, the onset of the Great War. You're also going to be speaking on the Confessions of the Gospel of Grace. You're going to be speaking on Wednesday, the 17th of April, on the defense of the gospel, the rejection of errors. And on Wednesday, May 1st, you're going to be speaking on the other decisions of the Dort Synod and their importance. And I just want to make sure that our listeners know, if they want to attend this, especially, I know that I have a number of listeners in not only the Republic of Ireland, but in Northern Ireland, where Ballymena is. You can go to cprf.co.uk for more details on the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church. That's cprf, as in Frank, .co.uk. By the way, what does the F stand for in that that website?
I'm not sure you have the website address right.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it.
I don't have the foggiest idea.
Yeah, I'm looking straight at it, and Pastor Angus Stewart, who I have on Friday as my guest from 4 to 6 p.m., is the pastor there. I'm looking right at the website.
Angus will tell you what that website address is all about, and you can get in touch with Angus Stewart, the pastor of the church and the promoter of this conference, in various ways on the Internet. But you are right. He would welcome the church there, active Reformed congregation will welcome all who attend this conference and help in every way to make their stay at the conference comfortable.
Great. And
changing the message.
I'm sorry?
Except for changing the message. The message does not make people comfortable. That's too bad.
Yes, if the gospel is being preached and proclaimed biblically, it will certainly offend many. We don't have to add our own offensiveness, which unfortunately many Christians do add an obnoxious and a sinful way of declaring the gospel. But even without our own offense, the gospel will offend people.
It will.
And tell us about this great war to which you refer in one of your messages for this mini conference.
I was tempted to make the title of my opening lecture on April 13, The Gathering Storm. But since Winston Churchill co-opted that title, the title of one of his books, I thought I would let Sir Winston carry that away, and so I titled my opening lecture, The Onset of the Great War, Ecclesiastical and Doctrinal. And that will set the stage for the Synod and the Synod's adoption of the great doctrines of grace. The setting of the calling of that Synod is both intriguing and remarkable. The Synod of Dort was a miracle, a modern miracle. According to the circumstances in the nation of the Netherlands, that Synod ought never to have been called, because it would have been impossible to call that Synod. And the reason for that is the ecclesiastical situation in the Netherlands at the time that the Synod of Dort had to be called and had to do its work. The Reformed Church in the Netherlands had just been delivered from Roman Catholicism 20, 30, 40 years or so before the calling of the Synod of Dort. And in the Reformed churches, there were many former priests working as pastors who had left the Roman Catholic Church but had not abandoned Roman Catholic doctrine, particularly the false doctrine of the free will of the natural man and the dependency of salvation upon the free will of the sinner. The result of that was that one of the preachers, as I have already said, a very influential and capable preacher, by the way, very popular preacher, James Arminius, began teaching salvation by the free will of the sinner. Exposed himself, and he was a pastor in the most prestigious pulpit in all of the Netherlands, in the main city of Amsterdam, so he had an inordinate influence all through the nation of the Netherlands. He opened up his false teaching with a series of sermons on Romans chapter 7, because basic to Arminian theology is the heresy of the free will of the sinner and the dependency of salvation upon the free will of the sinner. Romans 7, as you will be familiar with, teaches that the writer or speaker of the seventh chapter declares that the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Arminius said that it was an unconverted and unsaved man speaking in Romans 7, which implies that the unsaved man has a will to do the good and a will to avoid evil. According to Arminius' explanation of the chapter, man has the will to do the good, particularly the will to do the good of believing in Jesus Christ. Because Arminius opened up his false doctrine with Romans 7, when I am in Bellarmina and preaching for four or five Sundays at the time of and following the conference that they're going to have, I'm going to preach a series of sermons on Romans chapter 7, that by the way. Also in connection with the church situation in the Netherlands at the time that Arminius opened up his false doctrine, the Reformed churches had only two creeds that treated predestination, and treated predestination only very briefly. Therefore, there was not the confessional knowledge and the confessional armory to combat Arminius' teaching about especially predestination. There was opposition to Arminius' teaching, but these opponents of his teaching were not able to call a synod or an ecclesiastical meeting to deal with the problem, because the churches were under the control largely of the government, and the government was in the hands at that time of men who favored Arminius and his teaching and were opposed to the pure Reformed truth. The leading politician was a man named Olden Barneveldt, and he was himself favorable to the Arminian theology, but he was also opposed to the unity of the Dutch provinces in one unified nation. And it's an interesting fact that at that time, as so often in the history of the church, politics and church matters were intertwined. There was another political figure on the scene at that time named Moritz, the son of the famed William of Orange, who had before that time delivered the Netherlands from the oppressive rule of Spain and Roman Catholicism. Moritz wanted to unify the nation, but he was not able for a time to do that. So Oldenbarnevelt was successful in his opposition to calling a synod to decide on the Arminian controversy. And in the meantime, Arminius doctrine was spreading throughout the Netherlands so that more and more ministers were being deceived into holding and preaching Arminian doctrine, and more churches were coming under the influence of Arminianism. Things became almost desperate in the provinces that made up what we now know as the Netherlands. The Arminian teaching was spreading, and the opponents of Arminianism were standing over against Arminius and his followers, so that the churches were really suffering a schism that was tearing the churches apart, and also a schism that extended into the political and social sphere, so that this theological controversy was threatening whatever unity there may have been in the nation at that time, to the extent that war was imminent. A couple of anecdotes may indicate the severity of the division, the church division and doctrinal division at that time. Instead of attending their local church, Reformed people were traveling miles by wagons pulled by horses because they would not sit under the preaching of the Arminians, and they wanted to hear sound Reformed preachers. And it comes down in history that a Reformed man, a prominent Reformed man, made it known publicly that he would rather be married by a pig than by an Arminian preacher. That's the kind of sentiment there was in those days, and that's the kind of devotion to sound Reformed doctrine that held sway in those days. A synod was necessary to settle the issue, and in its own way also to preserve the unity of the Dutch nation. But the political powers forbade the gathering of a synod at that time, so that things became desperate. That's the historical and doctrinal, the historical and ecclesiastical environment in which the Synod of Dort was held.
By the way, we have to go to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than the last break, so if you'd like to join us, do so quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address, if you have a question, is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And by the way, a mystery has been solved. Dr. Julian Kennedy of the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, sent me an email. He said, the F in CPRF is our old name, Covenant Protestant Reformed Fellowship, which is now Covenant Protestant Reformed Church. So there is the mystery that has been solved. We are going to our final break right now, and so send that email in as quickly as you can to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. the Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. we fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths. Desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our Ladies' Fellowship and our Children's Sunday School class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Sorensen. If you just tuned us in, we are interviewing David Engelsma on the original Five Points of Calvinism conference that is being held in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. If you want more details on that, go to CPRF, as in fellowship, .co.uk. It's being held from Saturday the 13th of April with a final message on Wednesday the 1st of May. And that's once again CPRF as in fellowship, CPRF.co.uk, CPRF.co.uk. If you have a question for Dr. Engelsma, do so now or forever hold your peace at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, because we're rapidly running out of time. Joshua in Lapine, Oregon says, Ligonier Ministries is having a blowout $1 ebook sale right now. Well worth checking out. You can even get R.C. Sproul's commentaries on John and one on Mark for $1. Thank you for your ministry, Brother Chris. I listen to every podcast that you release, and you helped my brother and family find a biblical church last year. Take care, my friend, Joshua Lapine in, in Lapine, Oregon. Thank you, Joshua. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, Dr. Engelsma, and I think that our listener is making the same mistake I made by giving you the honorary title of doctor, even though you deserve one, brother. But I will change his wording to Professor Engelsma. When we say that we reject the heretical doctrine of the free will of man, don't we need to be careful as not to convey a false and unbiblical message that men are forced against their wills to sin or to believe in Christ?
At the same time that we deny the doctrine of the free will of the sinner, which means that the sinner has the capability in himself to accept or reject the gospel when it is offered to him, and that God's salvation of him depends upon his exercising his supposedly free will to accept the gospel, we teach that God does not force any sinner to sin, that the sinner refuses to believe in Jesus Christ if he is left to his own devices, according to his own wickedness and with himself only to blame, and that even when God graciously moves his elect to believe in Jesus Christ. He does that in such a way that he makes us willing and able to believe, as Paul teaches in Philippians 2. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So yes, we make plain that it's not a matter of compulsion or constraint. The sinner refuses to believe of himself according to his own fallen, depraved nature, which he shares with all the descendants of Adam, so that the fault is his and his alone. But we do not back off from teaching the bondage of the will, the title, by the way, of Luther's great Protestant treatise.
Yes.
We do not back off from teaching the bondage of the will because of the objection that that necessarily implies that God forces a sinner to sin.
Right. Yeah, those that are enslaved to sin love being enslaved to sin. They choose to sin because they enjoy it, and they cannot choose in a saving way to follow Christ before regeneration because, number one, they do not want to. They could give lip service, of course. There are many false converts, but the scriptures themselves teach that humans left to their own desires in the flesh cannot even obey God and keep his law at all.
And it's our fault that we're in that desperate condition. And what that emphasizes is that when a sinner does believe, he believes because the Savior is gracious to him, not only enabling him to believe, but working in him powerfully so that he does actually believe.
We have another questioner that has something similar to ask. Let's see here. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County who says, if we have been made new creatures in Christ, and we do believe in the perseverance and preservation of the saints, why is it that those with new hearts who love the Lord still every day disobey him?
We still disobey him. In fact, one of my creeds, one of the Reformed creeds, the Heidelberg Catechism, insists that we have only a small beginning of the new obedience, because when God regenerates us, he does not take away from us the total depravity of the sinful nature with which we were born. He implants in us the new life of Christ as a beginning, so that we begin to obey and to love God. But the old nature is still with us, against which we must battle all the days of our life. Paul calls it the old man, or the flesh, in Ephesians and Galatians. And because we retain that corrupt nature, our obedience to the law of God remains imperfect as long as we live. Our life is a warfare. The life of the regenerated child of God is a constant warfare, a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And that's one reason why we desire to have what we will have at death, that is, perfect love for God, which we want to give him, but fail to give him as long as we live on this side of the grave.
Well, if you could just summarize in a minute what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
I want to conclude what I was saying about the environment in which the Synod of Dort was held. It seemed impossible that that synod could be held, but then God, who governs all things, stepped in into history, or directed history on behalf of his gospel of grace. The powerful politician, Olden Barneveld, overplayed his hand. He raised a private army of his own and entered into a secret negotiation and treaty with Roman Catholic Spain, which had persecuted the Dutch for 80 years in one of the worst, if not the worst, persecution the Church of Christ has ever endured. And that gave Moritz, the son of William the Silent, or William of Orange, the opportunity to act. He imprisoned Olden Barneveld, and he authorized the calling of a synod, the Synod of Dort. And then the Church went to work to call this international and ecumenical synod. It put the Arminians and their theology on trial, condemned it, and drew up and confessed over against the Arminian theology the canons of the Synod of Dort, and also took some other decisions on behalf of the Reformed churches in the Netherlands, so that there has come down to us today, and every Calvinist, every Reformed person ought to be familiar with it, the Great Creed, which stands on a par with all of the other great creeds of the Christian Church, the canons of the Synod of Dort. God be praised.
Amen. Well, we are out of time. I am so sorry, Stephanie in Hamilton, Michigan. We don't have time for your question, but I will ask your question of Angus Stewart, who is the pastor of Covenant Protestant Reformed Church in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. I'll ask him your question on Friday. I want to thank you so much, Professor Anglesma, for being on the show today with very little notice. I want to thank also my first guest, Douglas Kuiper. Don't forget about the two conferences, the one that starts on April 13th that features our guest, David Anglesma. You can find out more information at cprf.co.uk, cprf.co.uk. And as far as the other conference from the 25th through the 27th of April, you can go to dort400.org, D-O-R-D-T-400.org. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.